Welcome to a Drop Tent Media production.
Hi, hello, welcome, Call the Boss, Neil Wood, Adam Nutter.
By the renewing of your mind,
the recycling, it's a flesh body world.
Do it.
Human.
Do it.
Sir Slimy Reptilian.
How you guys doing? We got another day in the cult. Tommy Wood, that's Adam Nutter.
Yo.
And we got a great guest in the studio from his book on perks from the Dad Me podcast and Little Stinkers. Give it up for Mike Rainey, everybody.
Yeah. Here. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Coming, bud. I appreciate it. It's always good to see you. Likewise. From the sober shows that I got to do with you and Jesse Dram.
That was a fun show.
Everything. Yeah. Again, the gig we got to, I think, Adam, you got to do 1675, right?
I did it last summer.
Yeah.
So that's a fun show. That's a good time. Dave's a good dude.
Neil, when I left, you were wearing that shirt, and when I saw you a week later, you're still wearing it.
I'm trying to rep a little bit. No, I have not.
He actually never took it off. Yeah, it's on him now.
Yeah.
Sewed into his skin.
I do live down here, so.
That is true.
I sleep on this bed.
That is true.
I'm going through it right now, buddy. We're making a push, and it's really fun. I own the house, but yeah. So I have changed the shirt.
I like that you're about a total loser pitch. Like, I own the house, though.
I don't sleep in one of the rooms I own.
I just live in the basement, but I own it.
Yes, guys. All right. I'm trying my pitch out for on Mike Rainey but I would use for women.
I do own the house,
but I do live down in the podcast studio where people podcast. They're like, what? I'm like,
where are you going? Come back.
Where? Yeah. But, yeah, no, I was just saying because it was such a fun
gig.
I think at one point Mike was yelling, if you got a small penis. I don't know what, sometimes I see you, man, I'm just like, I don't know, dude, it's just fun. I don't know what, everyone's looking around, I'm like, this is great, just let him go.
Yeah, most of my thoughts aren't coherent, so.
I'm so good, he's just yelling, if you got a small penis, I'm like, this is great.
That's good crowd work, fantastic. If you ask me.
It was great crowd work. I had my finger up, I was like, whatever. Small dick dudes, no, it was so much fun. I feel like that crowd was not ready for that. You're the only person I know who, I mean, has written a book, I think.
Barely literate. So, we struggle.
I just bought your book. I have not read it yet. I've heard great things about it.
I told you I was going to give you one, man.
I know, but I wanted the whole package,
I appreciate
man.
It,
no, you try to support. I got everyone's albums and all that stuff. Like, I got to try to support, try to do it. Let's be honest. I'm going to listen to the audiobook.
Yeah. I don't read anymore.
But I also, because I heard good things about it, I do listen to the podcast. I heard there's cool stuff on the audio. It's the same thing, but like you got the people to read.
There's actually more. I would say there's probably 40% more content in the audiobook than the actual print version.
Oh, that's sick.
And I got a bunch of my buddies.
Yeah.
I got Tim Butterly, Matt McCusker, John McKeever, Ryan Shaner. I think I had like 9 of my friends just come on and just read it with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key. It's like I have a very short attention span, and I don't feel like doing a lot of work. So I just try to make as many other people help me do the work as possible.
Brother Bear, you just that's Drop Tent Network. That's Drop Tent right here. You just described Drop Tent. That's me.
I basically just do all of it. And Adam's like, I mean, you got to talk to the boss, dude.
I say this about us as a company. Neil hates this. I go, I'm the face and money man of the company, and Neil does all the work. And you know, I don't see the problem with that. I go out, I shake hands, I kiss babies, right?
Yep,
I'm like the nice guy. People meet Neil, they hate Neil right away. They have to come to me and be like, yo, what's up with Neil? I'm like, it's okay. I have like a wife whose husband's like super aggressive and mean to people. I'd be like, he had a hard day. You know, sun was in his eyes. Like, he's okay. Next time you get him, he'll be fine. I have to make up excuses for you. Like,
I know.
Adam, do you have a favorite baby that you've kissed?
I do. His name is Timothy. I still keep in contact with him. The cops are on me, though. I am on the lam currently.
Please be a black kid. Please.
No, that's crazy.
It's a bad look for us, dude. You got to kiss all the babies.
But he asked me my favorite one.
You can't.
His one was Asian. They're the cutest.
All right, that's good. I'm not. There's no disagreement.
Right?
No disagreement on that. I'll swear up and down. Asian babies.
Oh, no. I would go a Mexican baby. Like, they're.
Oh.
They got those full heads of hair as soon as they come out of the pussy, man.
And chunky faces. Like, really.
Yeah.
Fat, they do have some of the best squishy faces.
Yeah, they do.
We have to give it up for that. 100%. The bushy hair is interesting. Is it because you hope to do the forehead kiss and you want to get just a little sense of the...
I think it's because, like, that's what I would want to look like. If I ever got plastic surgery, I think I wouldn't try to get anything lifted or anything. I just want to go full Mexican baby.
Well, again, like, I don't want anything on your wall. Give me fat Mexican baby. And I was like, I don't know what that is. It's like, can you describe it?
To squeeze me.
Yeah. Just want this. I want squeezed.
I just want to be, hell yeah. I want a lot of scoochie scoochies. I want a lot of those. Yeah. I want to get a lot of cheeks pulled.
A lot of cheek pinches. A lot of forehead kisses.
Pull those cheeks apart.
Just pull the, she does it like
Play-Doh face. Cute.
She does it the way we do it. Like she does it to your cheeks on your face. She's like,
it's like
that. You're like, that's not what you do, dude.
You're manipulating screens in Minority Report. That's how I like my cheeks pulled apart.
God, this is already fun. I'm already.
Very sweet of you to offer tea.
I was going to say, we're tea boys today. That sounds bad because those are terrible things in Afghanistan, if anybody knows about that. But yeah, I was like, tea?
Afghanistan or Thailand?
So, well, my understanding is it's tea boys. I get this from, I know Vice, it's always confusing. HBO's Vice.
Your personal time over there. Personal research.
Yes, my personal research.
Yes, no, that you put in hours into T-Boys.
I have flown over. I have investigated. It is real.
Yes, yes. Tell us, is that how you got the herps?
I did. I actually did contract it. That son of a bitch didn't tell me. This 12-year-old. Let me get it. No. Okay. So, Jesus Christ.
How did we get you went extra dark with it. I was just going high-level dark with it. You went a whole other level dark with it.
I didn't know where else to do it.
No, I liked it. It was a place to go, for sure.
Hey, you went fucking zero dark dirty.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew I could feel him bubbling. No, that was great. That's it. That's the name of the episode.
Yeah, that was for sure. Zero dark dirty. Yeah.
But, yeah, documentary... It was, and I swear, when everyone says Vice News, it's like that. I know they have two different things. The HBO program is what I'm talking about, because they were sending
dudes. The paper closed down.
I know, which I don't even understand exactly still, because every once in a while I still see a clip, and I really liked their program. I thought they were doing really good investigative.
I think you're right.
It has to be.
No, it is.
It's the same
logo.
Sure.
It is.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Two different companies, whatever. We're getting lost in the mire here. But yeah, there was an HBO program that was like putting them in the field, like during wartime. War correspondence, and one of them was covering this, and he was like, they were, you know, there was like a boy out in the field like running in between these two makeshift kind of things, and they're talking to like the main guy, and they're like, you know, like, hey, like, we don't really know what to do, like they keep the boys for sexual pleasure, and that's just in the custom, and if you're gonna try to make a stink out of it, it's gonna be a problem. And it's like, well, what's going on? These are, we call them T-boys, and like that was the whole thing.
I just imagine like English royalty being like, boy slave.
Yes.
Boy slave. Quick.
It was almost like the negotiation for like a company. And he was just like, listen, the T-boys we keep, non-negotiable. Like, we'll change a lot of shit. Yeah. We'll change a lot of shit, guys. Well, like women driving, we get it. We're keeping the T-boys.
We're not,
like,
not fucking them, okay? Stop bringing it up. Because you get mad about it.
You got to feel bad because like these kids, when they get called into the office, they probably think they're about to get recruited to ISIS. They're like, all right, fine, I guess I'll cut people's heads off. They're like, actually, we want to see how you look in a blonde wig.
Yeah.
They're like, I'd rather just cut the heads off of people. Is there an option for that still? No? Okay.
What's your recovery time for trauma? Like the interview is just, what is it exactly? We in a couple of days?
You cry a lot? What's up?
Yeah. That's going to be helpful for you.
Can you just stare blankly through things?
This is T-Boy Thought. This is our new segment, T-Boy Thoughts. Should not, everybody. Yeah. We've got a little Earl Grey in here today. Ooh, so good. I know it should be maybe something from the Middle East, but...
To the T-Boys.
To the T-Boys.
To the T-Boys.
Out there in the trenches.
Anyway, football documentaries, huh?
Dude, when you were a little bit just before, I did not
Our
know
turn.
How we missed this, but I was super pumped to hear about it. That's it was crazy when you said
The Gators documentary? Or
oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Or the other thing I was talking about. What was the other
thing
I was talking about?
The Gators doc.
Okay,
Well, did you mention the Gators doc and it includes the brothel? I can't, or that was just...
So off air, we're talking about the early 90s NFL, and Mike and I talked about the Cowboys run in the early 90s, and they were obviously a powerhouse team, and they were making like a lot of money for the time. You know, those guys were making like at the time like top dollar, you know, for the league, right. And Michael Irvin and all those guys. So like Irvin would just, he bought a house by Dallas, like, you know, pretty much, it was, he just to fuck in, and he would invite all of his teammates over, and they would just get girls and they would just fuck so their wives wouldn't be bothered, and then they would just go to practice and then go back home. But they were like, and like, it was wild. It was like a legitimate fuck house that Michael Irvin bought. Yeah,
I'm surprised it got found out. That seems like the move. Right?
It does. And I think, dude, it probably took a couple decades for this information to come out.
Right.
Uh-huh. And where I first heard about it was the book that I mentioned called Boys Will Be Boys by this guy who's my favorite sports writer, Jeff Perlman. And he interviews anybody and everybody around the team, and everybody seems very forthcoming. And yeah, the fact that that didn't come out then is right. just nuts, but I think it speaks to the power that a team like the fucking Cowboys has on that area. And not only to keep like people that are involved quiet, but also just, you know, just ancillary people.
Right.
You know, just why, how does that stay quiet for so long?
Delivery guys show up like, aren't you? Like, was I betting the spread on you like 2 days ago? Like, you know what I mean? I can't imagine that. Yeah, like all the people keeping it hush hush. They did it on like a government level, it sounds like. It sounds like, because it usually takes a long time for that type of info to get out.
I know, dude. Tell me if you have this thought too, but like, I just automatically assume that every sports team, they're the best friends. The best of friends, everybody gets along and everybody's cool.
I do think that. It's like cats, female, dogs, male. Like, I do, like, when you're a child, like, I do that dumb thought, like, they're probably all good buddies.
Dude, I used to think that as a kid. And then, so who's telling me this as I'm getting older? Like, hey, man, like, if there's like 30 people in that room, it's like 30 cabs home, dude. You know, it's like the type of thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I guess that, yeah, because those guys, a lot of those guys, I mean, a lot of those are friends, but all those guys fucking hate each other, you know? Look at Shaq and Kobe for years, right? Mm-hmm. Shaq punched Kobe in the face in the locker room because Kobe was acting up. And you know, and then they won 4 titles together. So it's like you got to go through the trials and tribulations. But, yeah.
Dude, Shaq is so goddamn funny.
So funny, dude.
See what he's doing now. Like, he was hitting that hot Home Depot girl up on Instagram. Yeah. This girl was just posting. Yeah. She's hot and she works at Home Depot. And I don't know why she was posting pictures. I guess just because she's beautiful. But she did. And people are obsessed with her now, the hot Home Depot girl.
Okay.
Shaq DM'd her, and the DMs got posted. And now Shaq's visiting Home Depot, giving away washers and dryers. It's like, you fucking devil. Dude, you're 40 and you're a billionaire. Like, do you need pussy that bad?
Still married?
No.
No, he's free. He's free to run.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a date. Dude, that's when you got the level of money where you can come in that kind of side door. When you're like, what if I told you I bought this location? Like, you know what I mean? What if I just told you that? Would that change your mind about things? Like, she's like, that's interesting. I don't know. You know, that's a good move. I like that.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Like, turkey's out of the truck. You know what I mean? Turkey's out of the truck around Thanksgiving, dude. That's a good move. I mean, if you want to give me pussy from it, that's cool. But I'm just saying. Just saying. You know, I bought the location.
It is comforting to know that guys that even have that much money and are that successful still have to work for pussy.
Well, I was just saying, because Big J talks about that in the Talk About It thing when he talks about James Franco and that whole, if he goes like, if James Franco had to do, if he did what he did, what does that mean for guys like me?
Yeah, like, right.
And it's such a funny like turn, you know, a great take on it. And you're just like, oh yeah, I didn't even think, it's like James Franco is kind of a good looking dude. He's got money. Like, what does that mean for the rest of us? James, why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Yo, can I tell you something on the inverse though? In the inverse of like super good looking to... Same problem though. I'd be like, what's wrong with me in my life that I can't hold a relationship? Right. I was at my buddy's store over here in Newtown. I was talking to him, and this chick walks in, and she looked like, I don't know, a sea lion of a person. Right. Like, she was like a manatee of size,
hot.
And super hot, you know? And she was wearing like this giant, like, flannel shirt with like visible mustard stains, like, all down it, like, just all down it. Queen. And her, yeah, and her fucking teeth were like stained, and like she just looked like a mess. And she's like going through like some of the stuff, and then she says out loud, like, "Oh, my boyfriend would love this." And I was like, "How? Like, how? You know?" And I'm like, "What's wrong with me that I struggle with like a relationship? Like, what? Like, I just don't get it. Like, what am I doing wrong? Am I that much of a fucking?"
I'll tell you how. Just from your description, like, I love her already. I don't even need to see a picture of her. Like, I just love a bitch that's that confident. Like, you ever work with middle-aged black women?
Oh, yeah. Super confident.
There's nobody like them, and it doesn't even matter what a middle-aged black woman looks like. It's because, like, you would follow them into the fucking sun.
Absolutely.
Just on confidence alone. And just being, because, you know, like, if you went on a date with them, they wouldn't think twice about calling the waiter over to tell them that something's fucked up with your meal while you sat there and ate something that you're deathly allergic to.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's, I remember, working with a woman. She was great. Oh, man, I haven't worked. I was working at Painting with a Twist.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
So, you know, it's already drinking something, 40 moms, you know, they're all in there. And Yazan, man, I'm going to forget her name. I'm sorry. She loved the Apple version of, was the Apple version of Crown Royal. She was like, oh, I drank a whole bottle of this, like, cake. I was like, I mean, giant, just big old boobs, no butt, right? But God damn the confidence on this one. She was delightful. I got sexually harassed once at work, and she was. I got grabbed. It was fine. You know, when a guy gets grabbed, it's kind of like, hey, could you stop grabbing my dick, please? And then
I say this all the time. Guys can get sexually harassed. You just go, yeah.
I mean, it can happen, but you kind of like, boop, 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 boop. Like, come on now, stop playing
Remember
around.
When
you know
Terry Crews was like, I got sexually harassed. We're like, shut up, Terry Crews. You're so big. Shut up.
I could feel it to him because if it is, like, so much of a pest, like, if it was at a level of, like, you can't hit them either. Like,
I know you can. I mean, it's frowned upon. You totally can, though.
Yeah, it's been frowned upon. Like, if it was getting, like, yo, seriously, cut the shit. Like, you just have to pick them up and, like, hold them by their arms and just be like, all right, we got to get you over to a cop or something. Just bring them over. She's touchy. I don't know what else to do with
her. Dunk them in water like a witch or something. I don't know. It cools down.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. But, yeah, I get grabbed. I come out in the front, and I'm telling my boss. But I'm telling her just, like, yeah, and also the party that grabbed me just took a bunch of booze from the party in front. There's like a back party in one room, and there's a party in the front, and they have all their booze on their table in the front, and they were in a party bus, bachelorette party situation. The last girls that just left, just, you know, I was drying their paintings like a dork. They grabbed my dick and then left, and they grabbed a bunch of booze and got in the party bus. No plates. No one knew where they went, and they were gone.
It's pretty funny.
And...
because you really just got bitched out by a bunch of women. Like, clean my shit 100%. Too, pussy.
These happen to be black women as well. So I was getting sexually harassed by also black women. But it was then that my coworker comes out and she's like, what? They touch your dick? Ah, what are you going to do, though?
she's right.
Like, ah, she got a good grab at it? I was like, she got a good grab on it. She hung on it for a bit.
Yeah, they're just sexually assaulting with a twist.
Yeah. Like, come on, dude. No, exactly. It was very sweet of them. It was very nice, but she always had the best. She just wouldn't put up with people's shit. She'd be like, yeah, I know, but you should probably just paint. Just don't even worry about it. And then I would say the same thing, and they'd be like, I know I would need to figure out how to do this. And she'd just be like, just do it. Don't. I mean, if you're going to worry about it, she would say something sassy, and then they would just start doing it. I was like, what powers do you hold? Yeah. Why are you so good at this?
Dude, yeah.
She was amazing.
What do you think the rest of the ladies Painting with a Twist would have done if you knocked out this woman who just touched you?
I know. Like, I come to the front. I'm just like, really like, excuse me, manager. There's a woman on the floor in the back. She touched my cock, and I reacted.
Dude, like, no, I think what happens, like, is another woman in the group just pushes people aside, like they're like the next challenger, and like, it's my fucking, I could get that dick, and it becomes like a
rodeo
gladiator
situation. She's got to hold on for 8 seconds,
like a roadhouse maybe type storyline going on. We're like, yeah, like a champion.
Oh, here we
like
go. Here we go. Come
like
on
a
now.
Highlander. Maybe, you know, we're like only one, and like it's like a champions style thing. I don't know, but
could be fun.
Anyway, documentary, Florida Gators.
we're still on track, dude. Neil, guys, we love black women. They're very confident. Boom. Well, I think we never left the this documentary.
Yeah, so it's called Swamp Kings. It's coming out Netflix soon, August, I think. It follows the 06.
I'm not even into sports in that way. I'm checking this out.
No, dude, you have to, because it follows the 06 to 09 Florida Gators, okay? Now, on this team for those years, the coach was Urban Meyer, and we all know all of his controversies
dirtbag
throughout the years.
Okay. He's the worst.
Dirtbag.
The absolute worst. He's such a piece of shit. Yeah.
Okay. Started off pretty good.
He was this coach in Ohio State, and he was at a bar, and he just got caught like fingering some like college chick.
Jesus.
Like, consensually. It wasn't, but he's like married. Right. He's like married, and like all his photos are like posted like in this college bar, and he goes to this place with his wife all the time. So it's just like,
on top of this too, he was coming from, his daughter was having like a birthday party or something in the next room. He's like, all right, I got to get out of here. He just went to the bar next to that room and just started like behind the pants fingering this hot 24-year-old.
Dude, he's treating this like he's, it's like, he's like, oh yeah, like he just refers to the bar as like his oil check spot. It's like, well, I'm dipping, you know what I mean? I'm dipping in all these ladies. Yeah, it's like, dude, you're just going into these bars, just checking everyone's.
Two knuckles. Pretty good. Pretty good on that all college chick.
But he's married, so for rich guys, that's just a bad look.
Yes.
I mean, he's married, he shouldn't be doing it, he's fingering, you know, it's consensual.
He's also like one of the most well-known figures in like football.
Okay, a little bit of an issue. It's a bad
look. It's not like he's an unknown coach. It's like, hey man, you're Urban Meyer.
Right.
You know, it's like
no court case or anything. Yeah. But it's a bad look. Yeah.
So it starts to shake your hand and like your finger just like, you know, give me an elbow bump.
Yeah, why don't we, this is pre-COVID. He's like, way before. Yeah, why don't we do that, dude? Because it's wet. I can see it's glistening. Like it's glistening.
Yeah, I smell it. Is that corn in your finger?
Just,
I smell it.
Just holding it up. Just like, next. Like, it's just.
Yeah, no, it was wild. And it wasn't even like, it was like, the video was even like, you kind of argue where like, oh, that wasn't even me, or that wasn't even like, my hand was, it was like, the camera's right here, and he's just like,
Yeah,
it wasn't subtle. Okay, so it starts with Urban Meyer. Then Tim Tebow.
Got it.
Cam Newton. Percy Harvin. Riley Cooper, if you know from Eagles fame, Mike, you want to tell the story of Riley Cooper, of why he's famous?
Yeah, I think I might have been at a Kenny Chesney concert, but he had a little too much to drink, and he was actually caught on camera and ultimately kicked out for saying that he'd fight any N-word in that place. Now, I don't know how you could be that angry at a concert.
Kenny Chesney.
But, dude, just...
Kenny Chesney, yeah, no, there's something
like,
in it.
Just it's like, buddy, you're in the NFL. I don't know if you know this, but most of your teammates are... black, so
it is an issue.
It's gonna be fun for your locker room.
Yeah, I think you might have wanted to check that, but
Joe Hayden, Major Wright, Ahmad Black, Brandon Spikes, Aaron Hernandez.
That's a big name. I even know that one.
And the Pouncey brothers are also on that.
They just sound like trouble.
This sounds like I made a team in like Final Fight or something. Like
this is like an NFL blitz team. Yeah. Almost, it's like not real players. It's like you have a Christian like quarterback who's like a virgin until he's like 27, and then you had a murderer that he was throwing the ball to in the same exact time frame. It's wild.
So this doc seems like they're going into the nitty gritty of them.
Yeah, I think so. I think everything. I think like the team, like the school, like the players, and Urban Meyer's going to be in this documentary too.
Is there any stuff from that time period that you guys already know about? Like things that I'll watch the trailer. Obviously.
Well, they're going to probably cover the championship and stuff like that, I would assume, right?
Like, I meant like scandal or shit. Like, was there from the players that you and everything you just listed, was there like stuff you're like, didn't we hear about it?
At the time, I don't think so, right? No? Like during the time of the Gators run, like they were pretty like, if I remember correctly,
so
like a clean team, right?
Yeah,
in the public eye.
Yeah, just like the Cowboys thing. Like somehow they kept on the reps. Dude, and Aaron Hernandez might have actually started murdering while he was playing for the Gators.
Yes, that's what they think.
So that's a big, okay. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that I think I'm talking about.
He was like going to practice and be like, I gotta dip early, coach. I gotta fucking do something.
Because Aaron, he killed his girlfriend. Wait, no. He was gay, right?
So they think he was gay, plus CTE, plus gang activity.
GAY CTE.
Yeah. All of it.
Dude, his wife, just a beauty in every sense of the word, man. I still follow her on Instagram. She moved on. She's still doing well, but she still rides hard for Aaron Hernandez.
Really?
Like every now and again, like even though she is remarried and seems very happy, she had another child with this guy and the kids seem very well adjusted. Every now and again, like she'll post about how much she still loves Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, wow. That's really sweet.
Yeah. Wild.
NFL wives, man. There's in that book that we mentioned, the Boys Will Be Boys, Michael Irvin, he one night where he was just out all night smoking crack and just banging prostitutes, he came home and he was outed by somebody. So word had gotten out and he finally came home after this bender and he was just expecting hell from his wife and they both love church. As soon as he walks in the door, she says, "You don't have to apologize to me. You should go upstairs." They had a chapel in the house. She's like, "Don't apologize to me. Go up there and get right with God." So
it's a pretty easy time out.
Yeah, I
got
to convince my wife to start going to church.
Yeah, so it's a fucking easy time out.
You have
out,
to make millions of dollars, I think, is the key here. Yeah. And then it's like you get more leniency around cheating. You know, I think is the key here. That's what we
do you think that when you have a personal chapel that your wife then starts to act more popely and stuff? Like, she kind of very forgiving. Like, she has her own chapel. She's almost like the pope of the house. So she come, you come in, she's like, I already know. I already know. Don't even worry about it.
It's like, I'll be out by our giant in-ground pool. I'm not giving this up.
Heated in-ground, indoor pool, outdoor if we take the roof
in
off,
the chapel.
You know what I mean?
We got an in-ground chapel.
Not in the chapel that we bless the kids in. You have to go into the other chapel. That's
I mean, when you have chapel money,
we got a party chapel and we got a church chapel. It's like we do different things in the chapels.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you are buying a fuck island house, essentially, or whatever, I mean, you know, I think
they can't
you're doing
leave,
well.
Right? That's the thing. I mean, we always talk about it, but like, they genuinely don't, like, they people start to pull things when you're at that level of money. You start putting things at your house that you're like, I just don't want to leave, and then everyone's going to be, you know, a fanfare. I'm going to get autographs. I'm not surprised. So, yeah, he's got, I guess they bring in a priest, huh? That's but it's good for cheating. I gotta say for that.
It's good for cheating.
What do you think you guys would have if you were of that level of fame where you couldn't leave the house?
I definitely see a movie theater. The movie theater. I always was like, that makes sense to me because what star can try to slip into a movie theater and it's gonna be a nightmare. I can only imagine. So that to me makes, and it's fairly simple. It's popcorn, some candy, you know, a nice chair, whatever you want to do. It's not that hard. You can have a nice little theater. I wouldn't do anything crazy, but. I don't know, Mike. What would you go with?
I don't know, man. I would definitely go with a theater. I would love a basketball court.
Oh yeah.
And there's a millionaire who I watched one time. He's one of these guys. It's a self-help guru. This guy Ty Lopez. He had a jiu-jitsu dojo
built
a structure just built for that.
Right.
So he's just wandering around his property, and he just happens to go through this room, and it's just he just flies got like high level jiu-jitsu guys in to train with him.
That's sick.
That would be so fucking sick.
That would be cool.
That'd be amazing. That'd be
about you, Adam.
Really fun. Yeah, giant ball pit.
He's had a dream. I'm surprised you. I would go foam.
You can't swim. I feel like, okay, I have a Scrooge McDuck fantasy, I feel like foam isn't swimmable, but balls you could kind of get through.
I want to go foam because I would go with like, I would have like an MMA mat because if my knee can act right, I'd try to get back into it. And then. Yeah, I really love this. I went to one. It was with Noah Hulan, comedian Noah Hulan in Jersey. Shout out, buddy. He went to, like, it was the Ninja Warrior, like, complexes. Like, we got to go for one. Super fun. Yeah.
That's sick. I would love to try
such
that.
A fun time. Wall runs and, like, again, they also had, like, elevated stuff where you could just swing into foam pits. And if you want to talk about instant, like, childhood kind of feeling – there's nothing better than that. Like,
you know, it's
like,
true.
It's great.
That's also a true memory. I just watched a 2-hour American Gladiator documentary on Netflix.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that, man.
It was so good. And, man, nostalgia through all my core. That was fucking great. Those guys got treated like shit. Not important. My point is, like, that looked like fun, though. Like that show, like, growing up, I was like, this is what I want to try to do. Like, I want to try to, like, test my might in these games. And yes, yeah, so Ninja Warriors, like, it's the closest thing to, like, gladiators now, I guess. Right. But not really. But, I mean, that'd be the closest thing to do for fun. But I want a tennis ball shot at me.
I know, dude. I was just, like, talking with Del Calo and Jake Matera last night about, like, you know, stuff that you used to watch, game shows you used to watch as a kid that you used to want to take part in. And for me, the only two were Double Dare and American Gladiators.
Dude, I was just going to say Double Dare.
Double Dare was like if you had a family. American Gladiators was like if your dad only got you every other month.
Yep. Nailed it. That was every other week. Yeah. What was the Legend of the Hidden Temple?
That was fun too. Yeah. That was fun. Double Dare was like, cause I'm like I could do it. Like, you know, like I could hold the liquid in the cup and not spill it.
Totally.
I could do that.
Totally.
Fuck, man, what good games in the '90s, dude.
And dude, with Double Dare too. I mean. I forget where you mentioned you are, Adam, but we're in Philly right now.
Bucks.
Bucks County. We're in Philly right now, and, like, Double Dare used to film in South Jersey.
Yeah, I just found that out.
Dude, I found that out maybe a couple years into watching Double Dare, and when I found that out, I was like, oh, my God, this might be a reality. So my sister, my cousin, and I, we started training as though we were going to get on the show, And then our training got serious enough as to where, like, I had a conversation with my sister to tell her that it would have to be my cousin and I going on the show because my sister was too fat and she would hold us back. But it never came to fruition. It wasn't in the cards, man.
And then she's like, remember when you called me fat for no reason? And you're like, yeah, but, you know, I had to potentially get a double dare, so worth it, you know?
I like to think that you guys are still drilling once a month. Yeah, just in case. A while. Like, you just got to be ready. Guys, like, we don't know when that double dare opportunity is
coming. Mark Summers might call.
And listen, we know, listen, you're going to keep losing that weight. Maybe you're in, but, like, this is my team over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is my team. Sis, I'm just saying, I love you. Love you. Thanksgiving, awesome, but this is my team.
So Mark Summers started that show in South Jersey, and then Nickelodeon bought it out, and it got moved into the studios down in Nickelodeon. But also, American Gladiators, know where American Gladiators originated?
I would assume LA. Somewhere in L.A. Yeah.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
No way.
Really?
Because the documentary is nuts. It was created by this iron worker called Dan Carr.
That sounds about right.
Right, and okay. And they would have like these iron worker picnics every year, and they would just have like these games,
like shoot tennis balls at your wife.
Yeah. Where they would just play football and shoot tennis balls at their wives, and like he just came up with these individual games, and every game you saw was like his original. Even like the fucking steel ball hamster wheel thing,
mm-hmm. Really?
It was like his idea.
Damn,
they were all like his idea from like just and then he rented out like a high school in Erie, PA, in like 80 something. Like 5,000 people showed up
with the kids,
did the games, called it American Gladiators. Yeah.
Yeah, this school does come with all the kids, principal not included.
Yes, it was very awkward. They had to do it around gym class, but they got it in. And then they fucking did it. And like that was like the first, and he brought in the other guy for the money guy as the money, and then he fucked him. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, every time. Yeah. Every time.
But that's wild. I'm like, oh, Erie? Okay, cool. Interesting.
Dude, because we're coming off of we were talking about the football doc. Was there anything that we left out of the football doc? I'm excited.
It's not even out yet, but I'm definitely gonna watch it. But it's just like all those players. I'm like, and also some of those players are just like legitimately very good players in the NFL. Like who just had good careers, but no controversy. But like it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts. The as we went from that over into like the double dare stuff in the competition. I love the ideas like for that. You know the guy makes me think of two things. It was the dude who has an extravagant garden. I watched this doc. It was the most beautiful like private owned garden in the world, and he's been working on it for like 30 years, and he's just some rich dude in another country. I think it's Austria, something like that, if I remember correctly.
If their art doesn't come to fruition, they cause
France.
Problems.
So the house is the estate of an island in France. And then he just had this passion for it, and he's been building it. And it's when you talk about, like, being able to walk through your property and then just walk into, like, a dojo. Mm-hmm. He built basically, like, multiple different gardens. And at one point, it was a Japanese theme. And when you just – this guy just walks through, and he's like, I want people to come and enjoy this, so I'm happy you're shooting the doc. But at the same time, this is my space. Like, it's my space. But he just walks out into an entire Japanese garden. And you know how fucking amazing that has to feel? Like, just to walk out, dude. And then, of course, fuck whoever you want on coke or, like, crack, whatever you want to do. Just get away with it because you're rich. But I'm sure it's, you know, but I think of that. And I feel like that's the last error. Like, the guy who just started the, like you were saying, for that. He just an iron worker in PA. You just be able to do stuff as a dude and just whatever. You're like, yeah, we just started doing things. I don't know. They want to film it, so we're going to do it. You're like, I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah,
like,
it is weird. You're right, dude. Because even watching the
Action Park. Action Park is another one, if you know about Action Park in Jersey. Yeah, yeah. Like, the East Coast was just setting up crazy shit. And dudes were like, I don't know. Let's make a roller coaster that goes in a loop. And you're like, yeah. But what if it was a water ride? And then they tried to make a water ride that went in a loop, and people died. And you're like,
yeah, so many people died at that park. It's
great.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic.
You want to do plugs?
Yeah, we got to do plugs. Yeah. I was just meandering anyway.
Oh, excuse me. I burped into the mic.
Yeah, you did. That was disgusting.
Sorry.
What are you going to do?
What are you going
to do? We got a tight schedule today, too.
Yeah, I know.
I got like two podcasts after this. Mike Rainey, where can they find you, bro? Give them all the stuff. Give them everything.
All right, I have two podcasts. First one is with my buddy Tim Butterly, Dad Meat Podcast. And my second one is Little Stinkers, which is a mostly serial killer podcast. We have been venturing out into just prominent people who end up doing bad boy stuff. Like one of the recent ones was Lou Pearlman, the manager of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Very funny guy who did some very fucked up things. But yeah, check out Little Stinkers if you're into true crimey kind of stuff, but it's not like fat girl true crime. Also, check out my newest book, On Perks. You can check that out at onperks.com, onperks.com. It chronicles my close to 3-year run with painkillers, where unfortunately I was also very active on Facebook. So I include a bunch of those Facebook posts from that era, including paired up with present day analyses of each one of those posts. And I have a print version, an ebook version, and an audiobook version. But like I mentioned earlier, the audiobook version features a bunch of my funny friends. And there's, I think it's about 6 hours long. So I promise you, if you pick up this book, it will be the funniest thing you read all summer.
Hell yeah.
Boom.
Adam Nutter, what you got coming up?
Just follow me, Adam Nutter on Twitter and Instagram. Oh, this is coming out after that. Oh, shit. I don't even know. Oh, it's coming out in 3 weeks. Hit me up on Instagram or Twitter for upcoming show dates. July 29th, I think, Helium. If you came out to Pork Fest, thanks for coming out to Pork Fest. That was fun, I guess. This is in the future. So, yeah, we had a great time. go check out youtube.com/AdamNutter for the Porcupine podcast I do. Thank you for everybody who checks that out. And I guess that's it for me now, because we are definitely filming this in the past.
Yeah, I think you made that clear. I think the mission
Yeah, I really didn't think that ahead.
Yeah, no, it's always nice when you go into your plugs and you can see the stumbling. It's always fun. Check me out, iamneilwood.com, or go to jameswoodart.com. I'm building it up. Keep all my art stuff and everything over there, so you can go check stuff out, hire me for all kinds of cool stuff, interior graphics, logo design, website, whatever you want to go on. It's cool. Do there, or I'm Neil Wood if you want to check out some comedy. We have some great shows coming up. You can check us always at Myers Brewing every second and fourth Friday. Two shows, 7:30 and 9:30, right here in Philadelphia, Fishtown. So come on out for those. Tickets are only $12. All right, and it's 17 at the door, so it makes sense to buy them online, people. All right, and then we'll be back at Crown of Creation in South Philadelphia coming up in July 22nd. So come on down for that. Me and Matt Himes doing some stuff, and we got a lot of friends that like to pop in and do things. So come over to that show. And that show is only, it's $5 for the first 5 people, and then it's $10 after that. So grab those tickets now while you can. Go to droptent.com/events, or just search Biggest Little Comedy on Eventbrite. All right. So all the shows, dates, and details. Of course, check out all the podcasts on the network. Crimes to Remember, Seriously Dad, and of course the Weekday Comics, the Porcupine. Check out all the podcasts. Give them some love. We appreciate it. You can go to droptent.com for that. And go to droptent.com/store to grab some merch. It helps us out a bunch. There's shirts, there's hats, there's all kinds of good stuff in there for you to grab up. And all of it comes over to us. They're reasonably priced. We appreciate it. It's good quality.
Wearing one right now.
Complaints. Yep. Yeah. I'm repping my other buddy, just to give him a little shout out, Dave Collins. But, you know, support all of it, and we appreciate it. It's different color hats, all kinds of stuff in there. So go do that. Patreon.com as well. Patreon.com/cultofus. $5 tier. That's all we got. It's all in one bundle. All right. So $5. Give us the size that you want your shirt in. We're going to send that out to you. You got all the extra content for you to go through in the archive. Us on the road. Us watching movies. Of course, the fights for MMA. Yep. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you get into the Discord, you're basically watching the fight too.
Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler coming up soon.
Yeah. You don't have to buy the fight. Anyway, so yeah, get in there and check out. You can watch the fight with us. It's a ton of fun. Adam was in there last day. A lot of fun, and we don't like talk over it or anything like that.
Yeah, we don't talk at all. Yeah, so if you guys just want to, or you can mute us even if no one talks. There's a separate chat for chatting and talking and stuff that people for like crazy knockouts and shit.
Whole different thing. But yeah, you just get in there and hang with us, and we appreciate it. And of course, hey, get a shirt. So other than that, it's all $5. Get in there, we appreciate it. And of course, Odyssey, Rumble, YouTube, all the stuff, iTunes, go over there. We appreciate it. All the support helps, and every little bit matters. So thank you so much. That's all of the stuff for plugs. We'll get into the last part of the show.
Yeah.
No, just checking out your website, man.
Oh, there's
a ton of cool stuff on there, dude.
Thanks. I'm
yeah, man, I did it all myself. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very hard work.
Yeah, don't face. Drop 10. I'm popular. I appreciate that very much. Yeah,
dude, the amount of people I tell I do that to as a bit, and it pisses him off so much. Guy, I don't even know how to go behind the scenes of a website, and people are like, dude, it's really good. I'm like, thanks, man. I work really hard at it, and I never tell the truth. forever.
Yeah. No, it's good. It keeps me humble. This dog still wants to hunt. You know what I mean? I'm like, one day I'll be seen. You ever seen Hidden Women? It's like that.
Yeah, yeah. I got
Hidden Women or
Hidden. Oh.
I hit him too. I hit him.
A documentary Neil made called "Hitting Socking Chicks That Act Up and Fucking
listen,
Painting with a Twist."
Listen, some of them they grab dicks. I'm like, they're grabbing dicks, and some of it I like, some of it I don't. That's all. Check out my doc, Hitting Women.
Hitting Women.
Dude, I gotta say, my Jersey accent really makes it like my trash mouth.
Yeah, it does.
Hidden, yeah. I just watched Hidden Women. You're like, what? Oh, yeah, it's great talk. Yeah, I have one question for you. And I was for Adam as well, but I'm trying to think. So, the age you are now, age specific, obviously. Like, when do you think presently? Like, what intimidates you? I was trying to think genuinely, like today. I don't know why. I just had. I was like, I woke up. I was like, what intimidates
bears?
Me? What's something? Bears.
I mean, that's they're intimidating. Bears are pretty intimidating, dude.
Bears
sharks?
Would, sharks, yes. Adam's go-to is animals, of course.
I'm out. Bees.
Okay. These are all very real fears.
These are the fears I have, I think.
Yeah, these are more fears rather than intimidation. But I understand.
Hand in hand.
I think I'm still, if I give you an example, like I think I'm still intimidated, like, this is going to hurt a little bit. Cause
middle-aged black woman.
No, dude. We vibe too much, if anything. I get them on all their gripes. I'm still, yeah, when you were talking about people bigger than you, I was like, I think I had a little. There's a guy so big, and I genuinely was like, all right, dude, that's enough.
Oh, you know what? I want an apology from you.
I do. You know what?
Thank you.
You know what? I do. I apologize,
thank you.
Adam. I was
thank
slightly.
You.
He might have been 300 plus. I mean, I was never intimidated by my uncle, who was really big.
Was he jacked?
He was pretty in shape. Mm. It was a Viking situation. Mm. And I was just like, all right, man. Well,
yeah.
You did.
Now you know how I feel standing next to you. It's bullshit. Because I bet you didn't look 6'5 to him.
Well, I know. But for you, it's like, well, I didn't even get enough jiu-jitsu time. And, like, I hurt my knee the first time I ever did, like, jiu-jitsu. So I really need to get back to it because I just don't feel. I'm like, dude, I mean, you know, I'm going eye gouge on you if anything happens. I'm just going eye gouge.
Are you going just
dick tear?
Like,
yeah, because what
a
else?
21-year-old college girl
dick
fight?
Tear,
like,
yes, eye gouge, fucking dick tearing. You
fucking blow your whistle in his face, too?
I might try to. I was trying to think. I don't know why. I just woke up today. No, that doesn't happen to anybody else. I woke up today. It's like, what's intimidating to me?
No.
Is there any social stuff that's intimidating to you?
Not really. I mean,
well, you just won't go. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Like, if it was, you'd just be like, oh, I don't need to go to that.
Yeah. My life's pretty awesome in that capacity. Yeah. I can just choose what I want to not do. But no, I also fear no man. You know, I only fear beast. So
is that right? I forgot. Right. I'll fall away. Sure. I mean, whatever. Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, my ego is just too high.
Failure? You get imitated?
I live that every day, buddy.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you've accepted.
I'm comfortable
with
failure.
You're at your peak, dude. Would you say you are absolutely, you're a self-actualized individual? Would you
I just
say
accept
that
I'll never make it in anything I do. So, okay, so once you accept that, you can kind of just go through life pretty happy, honestly, and just kind of do what you want. It doesn't matter because, like, there's no fear of repercussion of, like, oh, this is going to affect me anyway.
Okay.
You know, let's just go. Just do it.
Okay, nice. Anything over there, Mike? Anything coming to mind intimidating you?
I'm getting better at it, but social situations, literally any social situation, I feel like I'm crawling in my skin and I can't wait to get out of there.
Yeah. Mm.
But it has been something that I've been working on for the past like couple years. It is much easier now than it was maybe 2 years ago.
Nice.
That's tough. I don't like walking past teenagers.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Because I mean, like, I'm 44, so I've reached the point where, like, I dress exactly how I want to dress.
Right.
And I think I'm comfortable in that until you walk past a group of teenagers and you're just like, I'm going to get lit up. Like, I dress like there was a fire and I had to get out.
Yeah, a little bit.
I saw, dude, there when I parked that here, there were a couple of, like, teenage kids walking past them just like, you know, I'm going to listen to one more song.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go let Neil know that I'm here.
And I'll get out of the car.
Funny. Dude, I try to dress nice or trendy just so I don't have to think about that. I'll be like, what are the kids dressing like now? Like, is it short shorts now? Dude, all my shorts are like 5-inch seams. Like, fucking super high.
I know, but where you get intimidated is if we were at a business. Like, if you for some reason are dressing like that and then you're around adults our age.
Yeah, I do.
Who are dressed. You're just like, wow, don't I look like an asshole?
I do, 100% true. Yeah, 100%
true.
Like,
you know,
yeah,
matching high color shoes that are custom and everything. They're
Yeah.
Everyone's in business suits. You're just like, I know, I look stupid, whatever.
I know. Okay, it's a real bummer because I'm like, I look so cool. And then you get into like a real professional setting. I'm like, I look like a fucking 7-year-old. Like, no one respects me.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Well, we're growing from it. I'm trying to get better with teenage thing. Does I will. I'll stiffen the neck. I like, you know, I'll like straighten the back a little bit and like say something. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of where I'm at. Like say some shit.
If they laugh, you think it's about you guys?
No doubt. 100%.
100%.
You go, what'd you say? What'd you say? I'm not, so you cover up your tits. So you just feel like you have to be vulnerable. You do this.
So like the two things that I mentioned, it's like, all right, social situations. Like it has gotten better over the past 2 years because I have put it's been a conscious decision to put myself in more social situations. But with the teenager thing, it's like I can't start hanging out with teenagers more.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like I got to deal with that and just hope that one day there's just no more teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, with social situations, like I'm going to continue to do it and that's going to get easier. But man, that's always going to be a thing for me where I just know I'm going to get made fun of the second I walk past these kids.
But think about it. The older you get, weirdly enough, the more in line we have with teenagers, like walks at the mall. They're also at the mall.
Yeah.
Food, like late night or early food joints. They're coming back from the bar, early food, like a diner. You weren't teenagers there.
Yeah, I'm like 20 years from being a guy that hangs out at McDonald's at 6 a.m.
But my point is, you'll get there eventually.
I know, man.
Full circle to teenager thing. You're like, God damn it.
And I will, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of those kids working at McDonald's, like when I'm there hanging out with my buddies at 6 a.m.
Yeah, like, look at this old guy with his shitty shirt. And you're like, just put my coffee. Shut up.
How are you 80 years old and you got tits?
Yeah. They just spit in your coffee in front of you, like, do something. You're like, I won't. Oh. And you just drink it.
Dude, I think of disses from the, I'll be passing them, they'll laugh, and then I'll think of the diss for myself that they're saying. Like, I'll be like, you know, like, I have weird, like, I'm tall, but I got these weird tall guy knees where it's like they look a little strange. Like basketball player knees where you're like, when they bend sometimes, it looks like a giraffe's knee where it's like bulged.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, dude, they're probably making fun of my knees right now. Like, just something that, again, no one would even know. But
no,
again,
dude,
because
you're wrong.
They,
teenagers are great at nailing out your insecurity. Yeah.
Dude,
like whatever you hate the most, they're like, what's up with your fucking nostril? You're like, what? That's my thing. And you're like, how'd you know? Like, how do they know?
You had a nose ring 3 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
I see it, dude. I see what'd you go through 3 years ago? You know, you're like, how? How did you know this?
Yeah, they're brutal, dude. Yeah, they are brutal. I'm honestly envisioning you guys now just lying like in bed at night, like awake, being like, your hat's stupid. Like, like 5 hours later, like got him.
I do practice.
It's so odd too, because especially like in the city, like when you see kids together in the city, like a lot of kids, they're wearing winter clothes in the summertime now for some reason, and they got the fucking ski mask on too, or the poosh-icy mask.
Yeah, poosh-icy,
and it's like, dude, it's the most ridiculous shit ever. Like, why am I thinking about what you would say about what I'm wearing when you're dressed like it's fucking 25 degrees outside?
It's 100%. I was Jay Yoder. I saw something in his feed or something he posted. It was t-shirts dressed like the kids' day, which, in contrast to our schooling, like us, it would have been funny. You would have got the joke, but genuinely, some of the teachers they came in the full push icy like on, and I'm like, this is crazy. This is kind of nuts. That like in terms of trendiness, I was like, I didn't see trendiness. I thought more gold, like more. I thought it was gonna be more Kanye, like dressed, and then
Kanye's
like
out
the pandemic.
Young kids don't like him anymore.
Well,
he's not cool anymore to the young kids.
If anything, he started poosh-icing, I think. but yeah, he poosh-icing hard, actually. He poosh-icing hard. Poosh-wastika, I think, is what he did. But I don't know, whatever, who cares? But it's, I was thinking about, because I would have been dressed like, whatever, I'd have been dressed goth. I'd have been like goth 90s kid or, like that. I would have been dressed out that.
You would have stood out, man, because you have a physique that's not typically goth.
No.
Like, you're built like, if you broke your leg, you would have to be shot.
Yes, 100%. That's why the knee, dude. The knee is fucked, and I genuinely probably should be put down at this point. Like, it's when people are talking about, like, people going to run races and stuff, I'm trying to rehab it. It's going, but I was like,
dude,
this might be it for me, guys.
The hospital for you, the doctor's like, nurse, get the gun.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do for him.
There's nothing we can do. Like, get the Borelli. Like,
get the Borelli.
Trying to defend me. He's like, no, hold on, wait, nothing? Guys, when did this
happen? He still has something in him. Look, stand up.
I can stand up.
Adam,
get your arm down, dude. This is a procedure. It's like a procedure for
me. I'm I'm holding you by your neck. I'm like, he still has it in him.
Don't do it.
I'm petting your mane.
Do you know exactly what went wrong? Or
I had a meniscus.
He's old and he thought he could do jiu-jitsu. That's what happened.
Not fair. Like, compliments. We've talked about this. Albert Davis was like, you're very strong. You know, it was your first time doing it. We rolled for way too long. We did. We rolled for like 2 hours, and he was like, "Your first time?"
Yeah,
it was
nuts.
Like,
I said the same thing.
I didn't know, dude. I was having so much fun, dude. I felt like it was great, and then I just all of a sudden I just had this burning, right, like down there, and I was just like, something went wrong, guys. I was trying to kind of work through it. Me and Jesse Dram rolled a little bit more.
Oh man.
And I'm like, I think something went, but I can feel it swelling up, and then doctors, blah blah blah, all that stuff. I was like, man, first time go. I wish you guys would have told me to like take it easy, because I just never sat on my knees. For a tall guy to sit on his knees out of the gate that much, I realized how much Albert was like sitting back, like butt on his heels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, dude, I stretch a bunch, but I don't do that. And my knee just like.
That's why there's no 7-foot catchers.
Basketball, basketball with Keen Cobb and those dudes gone. Just. So I'm trying to adjust. I'm trying to get back to. I'm hoping you said basketball. I think it was the same school I went to in Buna. When I finally got a basketball court on the garage, because you get like a shitty one from Walmart or whatever, and it would fall down, or you didn't have the right mixture, it would just decay and break or something. But I was like, we got a good one on the bat. Oh man, I hope to get back to basketball, but I don't know what to do. Have you ever heard anybody really wrecking themselves first time out on the gate on the mat? And if so, did they come back? And I hope that I have hope that I can try to just still train but not go with the knee. I'm hoping.
I haven't. Usually if you're just starting, I think back to like when I first started training, like I didn't roll the first time. The teacher was just like, look, just sit off to the side and just look at what they do. But by the second class, he's like, if you want to get in. But I still had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I don't know what to do in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no. I looked like a...
Dude, jiu-jitsu is so hard. I got choked out all the fucking time. Like, I didn't win, like, a single, like, training session for, like, a year. I would just get choked out constantly, dude.
It was... I think for me, it was, like, the six-month mark. And it was just like, all right, I realized, like, okay, like, I could just, like, lay on people once I get to this point.
Right.
And hopefully I can wear another wipeout down and get them to do something stupid, but... Adam, it took me at least 6 months before I had like a favorable role.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was also doing an MMA at the time, so like we wouldn't do as many. This was also back in like 2005, 2006, so it was like different mentality back then. So we weren't doing like full like just straight jiu-jitsu training sessions. We were doing like almost like semi sparring, like leg like shin guards, like the training MMA gloves.
Yeah.
So like we're doing takedowns, kind of light hitting and jiu-jitsu. So like I was getting wrecked, but like I couldn't even focus. Like I just focused on jiu-jitsu is hard enough. Now get punched in the face on top of that is like impossible.
Right. Yeah.
So it took forever on top of that to finally be like, holy shit, I didn't get choked out finally. Like that's nuts.
Got you. Yeah.
And I think if anybody's listening, that's thinking about getting into like training, it's like I think that's the way that you have to approach it. And people don't tell you like things like that. It's just like, I think you're just fresh meat and people just want to tee off on you because you're a new guy. But I think, if people realize, like, you have to set small goals. Like, for me, like, the hardest thing the first month was just not feeling I just ran a fucking marathon at the end of a 5-minute roll. It's like, if you can make it through, all right, try to make it through 30 seconds without getting submitted. Try to make it through a minute without getting submitted. But, it's hard to, like, conceptualize this stuff when you're just getting destroyed time after time after time after time.
It's demoralizing. Do I suck like I never win bad, like
how big because I kind of know why Adam was doing it, but you're not training for a fight or anything that I'm aware of. How big mentally was that of like a thing? You kind of 6 months is a long time. Like mentally, were you like super, you had to be super pumped when you like
honestly even when I was getting teed off on it, I just loved it. It was so much fun, and it was like with jiu-jitsu, it's so easy to get in shape when you go consistently. And I think that was a big thing. Like, I felt great. I felt like I looked better than I had in previous years. And, even if I was getting beat up every fucking time, like, I think it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And on top of that, too, if you have good training partners, it means the world. Because, you have to look forward to being around people if you're engaged in any kind of activity, whether it's work or leisure. And to have that, you'll come back. You'll take the beatings.
Yeah.
Trade-off.
So you're just getting all those good vibes from.
And the good thing with jiu-jitsu is like, unless someone doesn't stop choking you out or breaking your, like, you're not gonna get hurt. What happened to you is kind of rare. Like that is kind of But like usually, like again, like you can't. It's not like MMA sparring or you just getting fucking hit. And you're like, this is gonna hurt. As soon as you feel that pressure, you go, oh, I'm done, and you let go, and then there's no more pain. Like getting choked out, by the way, doesn't hurt you. It's like nice. you just. So it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah. It's I want to get back to it. I'm hoping that I can get some, you know, and it was cool because a buddy of mine, like, again, I was rolling with Dram, and Dram's like trying to do for some of the same reasons, like working out. He was more focused that way. He was like, it's cool, and it was something we could do together that was going to be cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get back to it. I don't know, but I'm excited. I'm excited. I want to try to, especially for the good endorphins, like the brand. Have you found, how long have you been doing it? Is your brain also like changing up? And
I started in, I think, summer of 2018. And like pretty quickly, I mean, it's a couple things. It's like you're getting significant amount of exercise, and plus like you have something to look forward to every day. So there's so much of that. And then there's the socialization aspect to it. So I think it's hard to break apart, you know, how one thing is more beneficial than the other.
Right.
But yeah, it's just great. I mean, it's especially if you're older, I think it's great to get into because, yeah, like Adam, like you mentioned, like unless you have shitty training partners, like somebody training with you should not hurt you.
Right.
And by and large, I think most people that you'll come across are good. I think every now and again you might experience like the freak thing where it's like you might just, you know, go a little too hard right at first, but by and large, like, you know, your shit will hurt every day, but it's not like an injured type of hurt.
Have you had to use it at all? Hopefully not.
No.
Good.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like you feel more confident in every situation so that it changes your mentality aside from, like, you know, your physical, the physical aspect of it.
Mike, I say that all the time. I say it all the time, especially, like, I have the MMA stuff, too. So I have, like, actual, like, I don't even need jiu-jitsu. I got to stand up and throw hands if I had to. But, like, it is, like, a confidence thing. So it's, like, you're never looking to start a fight, obviously, ever. That's fucking stupid. I'm a grown man. But, like, there's that thing of, like, oh, you're not going to talk shit to me either. I'll wipe the floor with you, dude. like, this isn't going to happen. So there is a definite. But, you know, like I always say also, no, it doesn't stop a knife. MMA isn't going to stop a knife or a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like jiu-jitsu isn't going to stop that shit, like a weapon. So it's like, let that go. Like, it doesn't matter. You go. If someone's like, oh, yeah, and they pull out a weapon, it's like, ah, fuck, this is not worth it, dude. Walk away. Unless it's your family at stake, like, just walk away. It's not worth it.
And that's another thing that it gives you, too, is, like, I feel like I always had that weird false bravado where every, like, older guy thinks they can win any confrontation they're involved in, where, like, in hindsight, like, pretty early on, you realize, like, just how fucking vulnerable you are.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, once you get, like, 6 months in, a year in, it's, you know, you start progressing, you start realizing, like, all right, if I went against somebody untrained, like, I could probably handle things pretty easily.
Right.
And then, but also, you then realize, like, that there's guys leaps and bounds above you that just look like fucking librarians.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
You know, they could just do whatever they wanted to you and treat you like a fucking baby and don't look like they would ever do that just by looking at them.
Right.
Dude, there's a guy I used to train with, and he was, like, a big guy. Like, a big boy. Like, you know, 250, just, like, muscle. Like, you know, just zero fat on this guy. And he grabbed you and you're like, I'm not even a man. Like just by whole, like, you could just tell by the physical strength of him just putting his hand on your shoulder. You're like, this is a bear, dude. Like, this guy would, even if he had no training, he would probably fuck me up with my training. Like, he's just so strong. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, like, that's the thing too, is like, and like Mike said, like, yeah, dude, if you, the trained person could beat the untrained person 99% of the fucking time, usually, you know. But if that person is just a freak animal of a person, you know, it doesn't matter, dude. That guy's going to pick him and slam you down. Like Brock Lesnar, if he didn't have any wrestling or MMA to him, he could still probably fuck you up because he's fucking so big. It doesn't matter.
There's a guy, I think the league that he fights out of now is like called Pro Fighter League or something, but he's somebody, I think he'll be in the UFC at some point soon.
Oh, wow.
It's a guy that I briefly trained with at my first gym, this guy, Pat Brady, who, super nice guy. One day he's just like, hey, you want to roll? I was like, sure. And he just looks like a fucking Game of Thrones motherfucker. And as soon as we started going, like, that was one of those times where I realized, like, oh, fuck, like, this is just different. Like, I'd been training maybe, like, 6 months, and I was like, oh, I know a few things. And it was just, you know, fucking twirl me around his finger if he wanted.
Right.
But there is just that. There's people where you wouldn't see it coming. Then there's guys like that where it's just, like, you might have a little bit of false bravado, you know, just thinking that, like, oh, I've been training, even though he is super jacked, but this guy is just fucking, just an absolute fucking nightmare.
Damn. There's levels to the game, like right. In every sport, like people, and like we're not professionals in any of that, in any athletic accomplishment, obviously, so we don't even know. But like, I was listening to a story with this guy, Channing Crowder. He used to play for the Dolphins. He's like a linebacker, and he went up against Willie Ogden, who's one of the
he's
best.
Really funny too.
Yeah, he's very funny. Yeah, who went up, Willie Ogden, one of the best tackles ever to play, you know, for the Ravens, a long time, you know. And he said he was like the only guy, and this is an NFL athlete, you know, fucking drafted, not an undrafted free, a drafted fucking NFL athlete, best of the best, going, I felt like a child when he pushed me. Mm-hmm. He's like, I couldn't get by him. And he said he would shit talk me, but not negatively. He'd be like, oh, that ain't gonna work, young man. And like shit like that, as he's like just pushing him. He's like, oh, that rip move ain't gonna work. He's like, yeah, try something else. And he's like, I don't know what. He's like, I feel. He's like, I had all this confidence as an NFL at, and then he's like, I met someone who's like, no, you're nothing. And I'm like, dude, there's just so levels to that. Like, it's crazy, dude. When you hear that, you know, it's.
I go into full puppy mode.
Yeah,
it's like that big dude gets a hand on me. I go full puppy. I go big eyes.
Yeah, like what are we even down. Doing here? Let's
I'm,
get
like,
a hug.
I'm like, hey man, what's up? Like, I go full dog, dude. I because what am I gonna do? I try to sweeten him, try to make a joke.
Do you feel like you're healed now that you might try it again? Or
it's no, it's been worse than I thought. It seems like, again, with everything, it's something that I really need to get into therapy. I'm in talks to go to a gym that's right near here that some of the people you actually might know that go to, but just like a regular gym, and I know the guy, and I would really love it because he has a PT on staff, and he's just like, yeah, man, I mean, I get it. I was like, we're not going to work you out like the same way. We're going to work on this knee and like get it built up. And I'm like, that's perfect, because I feel like right now, you know, I'm not at a weight where I need to worry about my weight at the moment. You know, I can do some light cardio on a bike or something and be okay. But I definitely need to get in the gym and like figure it, because it does feel better if I work at it. Obviously, that, you know, duh. But and some of the work that I'm doing at home and everything, that's good. But if I want to get back to it, it would cause more problems than I thought. I really didn't think this is, especially from like doctors. They were like, it was one of those injuries, meniscus stuff, where they're like, this is going to be a problem now. Like, this is going to be, you might tear it again in the future. The doctor who I was seeing had a meniscus tear at one point. He had a brace on. He was like, yeah, man, I mean, you know, but you're healthy, you're young, be okay. Like, just rehab it the best you can, and then hopefully keep it up, keep it strengthened. Because he was playing hockey, and I guess he retore his. And he was a guy who does it a couple times, I guess. He's just like, eh, you know.
Dude, if you were, it's funny, because if you were, like, an athlete, they would replace that shit in 2 seconds. Right. And they would be like, oh, we got a new one. But you're just like, oh, how, you're a 33-year-old man who does nothing? No, heal.
Yeah,
like, what do you waste time on you?
Yeah, he gave me the option for the surgery, and that's what they would do for athletes. They would go in, snip,
yeah,
and then let it repair. And it's a quicker surgery. It's a quicker turn. It's a quick surgery,
right.
Turnaround time. It's just go in the back, boop, done. But at the same time, he was like, we could do that, but you might not have any difference. So why even bother?
Well, like, I mean, again, also, like, those surgeries now today are crazy. Like, I bring this up before, but the Friday Night Lights movie, Booby Miles, you know, it was supposed to be the next great running back. He got hurt. Dude, he just tore his ACL. And they acted like he died, like he had cancer. They're like, oh, you tore your ACL? They're like, you might as well kill yourself. Like, you have now, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, is faster with his ACL surgery than he was before.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they gave him a cadaver. They gave him a cadaver ACL, and he was faster after the surgery.
I know.
And Booby Miles had to get put out back like a horse in the 80s because he had fucking an ACL tear. Crazy.
What they don't tell you about is they're killing B-level athletes.
Yeah.
That's the NFL's big hidden secret, is that they're killing lower-level athletes if anybody needs body
parts.
All
the D3 guys who didn't make it, they're like, you know, let's go.
Yeah, they're just...
They wake up in a tub with ice.
They're all upstate now. They're all up on a farm.
Yeah, they're on a farm.
They're happy.
They're happy. They're good.
Super happy, guys. I only had one more question, and then, yeah, we got to wrap. Because it was for everybody. I was thinking about was... at a lowest moment, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but yeah, Adam, at your lowest moment, dude, what was funny? What did you find funny? Like, what is something that you laughed about to, like, at your lowest moment?
I mean, that's a very on-point question to ask me. Like, it's a very, I would have to think about it. I know.
It's fine. I like to add in the
I'll give you mine. Go ahead.
I thought you might be able to. I have two. Yeah, but... a nice life. Too many. It's too many. I think I was talking about this on Gant's podcast a little bit. I was talking about the, me playing basketball, I had such a fail one time. I was feeling good. I was on a double double. I was doing pretty well.
Damn.
I was 10 rebounds, 10 points. I was feeling good. Rarely got into the game. Had, you know, weight issues, as some people know, possibly. But if you're just joining, it,
really?
No, I had. Yeah, I was a big boy. You know, acne. But I was just big, and I didn't know how to use my body. But I was excited. I've been trying, practicing a bunch, and it's like seventh grade, not even maybe so sixth grade, and no seventh grade. Yeah. And I on a double double. I'm running backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling that good, dude. I'm talking running up. This is nine. Boom. Here's a rebound and 10 points. Double double. Boom. I'm like rolling backwards. Midcourt, no one around me. And I trip. I trip backwards over my own feet, midcourt. Only time of it, right? When I did, I hit my head on the court so loud. Dude. Like, you could hear, I mean, you know, we've all maybe been there when a baby just, you know, something that, like that, like that, when you just hear the head snap.
Did it make a, when you failed to make a hilarious fat kid noise where it sounded like you dropped like a library book from like a tall object and just echoed?
I'm pretty sure all you heard was like, like you heard, like, you heard like that, like it's all, no, like, and then just like that, just my head banging off the court. You heard two combinations of things. You heard, ooh, from the entire packed game. And you heard my own teammates stand up and pretend that an earthquake happened. Like, they were like, whoa, like this. My own teammates made a joke out of it. And that was the lowest. And I'm fucking dazed. And I have like a fucking little concussion or whatever, but I'm trying. I was just like, no, I'm okay. There's laughter as I'm getting off the stage. Parents are laughing. And I just sit down, and my coach comes over, and he's just like, ah, bud, you get him next time. It's going to be all right. And I'm just sitting next to one of the other bench riders, and there's like, see, man, this is why we don't go in. And that's – I just started like being like, dude, don't right now. He's like, I'm telling you, man, we don't ride – we ride the bench because this shit happens. Every time we get in the game – and he's just explaining how we will fuck up a very important moment, and then we're right back to riding the bench. I think I rode the bench the rest of the year.
Yeah, as you should have.
Right, yeah, but I found it so funny that he just made it also his problem. Like, he was like, see what I mean, dude? You fucked us. You fucked us. We had a moment. Like, maybe they're all getting better, and then just, like, squash.
Was this before, like, they took concussion seriously?
Yeah. No, they didn't go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah,
like
dude.
That.
They didn't take concussion seriously until, like, 2014. Yeah, that was, like, the first time they took concussion seriously.
My mom just monitored me when we got home and made sure I didn't immediately go to sleep. Luckily, it happened in the middle of the game. I had a lot more games sitting on the bench, openly sweating out of embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah.
Just red face, acne, just dripping sweat. Just
by the way,
like,
as somebody
it's crazy, right?
Who's had multiple concussions, you should sleep. Like, that's a myth. They're like, yeah, no, you should sleep and get all the rest you could get. It's like a myth of like you're because you die in either way. It's not like because you sleep, you would die because your brain's bleeding. Like, you would die if your brain's bleeding if you're awake.
True.
Like, there's no difference. It's just so they're like, yeah, no, you should sleep and rest. Like, that's crazy that you're not. So, yeah, I thought that's my very first time, too. And then all the ones after that, I just would stay in a dark room and go to sleep.
Very low moment, but made better by getting, like, nickname. Like, I had a nickname for a little bit.
Fat
Earthquake.
Tits.
No, I was Earthquake.
Okay. No, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a little better good. For a little bit. And, yeah. You know, then, yeah, the tits were coming around.
Yeah. Richter scale. They could have called you Richter scale.
I know. See, they had fun with it. Hey, listen, I was proud of them just for in that moment doing the joke, to be honest. In terms of opportunities for jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Like, guys,
good
I got to give it up to you for that. And it's not even the other team. This is my own team. The other team's like, yo, that's fucked up, probably. They're like, nah, this is very nice. But, you know, you find humor in it. You find fun.
Yeah, now I don't want to say mine and just leave it with yours because yours is better than
perfect.
Mine would have been.
Cool.
So.
Well, guys, that's been the call to bosses. Jesus Christ.
What is it, though, Adam?
Come on.
It's not funny. It's just, I mean, it's not like a good story. Like, Neil's story was much better. I was sad. I was living at home again, and my basement broke after my life fell apart back in my early 20s, my mid-20s. And I was sitting in a bare basement with nothing. I had negative thousands of dollars in my bank account. I remember just sitting on I had one fucking fold-out, like, lawn chair in the basement I was sitting in front of, like, the two boxes of clothes I had, just being like, do I kill myself? Like, this is fucking pathetic. I'm like, this cannot get any worse. And then as I said that, because I'm on the basement, the outdoor drain backflowed and went right into my house. and just flew all into my boxes and all my clothes. I was like, yeah, that's it. And that gave me a laugh, but like I was pretty fucking miserable. But that's not as funny as your story. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't as good.
I love the universe checking you a little bit.
Yeah, but it really did fuck me. And it like it ruined my clothes too. It didn't like it ruined everything. It just ruined the stuff I had. So like I was like, yeah.
Damn. Yeah, no, it's good.
That was fun.
You gotta come at that. Yeah, when you're beating it and there's just one extra little thing.
Yeah.
You gotta just start laughing.
But I was like an adult. Like you were a kid. Like it was way worse for me. I was like, I'll never get out of this hole.
True. But you're out and you did it. And you found humor and it's good.
Thanks, buddy.
Mike's got nothing. So, guys.
Mike wrote a book about it.
I know. Yes, I know. But it might be something else. I like to think of this question as like, and especially the intimidation question, like, you can chop it up and do what you want. Like, I intimidate you. Somebody could be like, I actually have been super intimidated by my shoe game recently. Like, it could be anything, really. Like, whatever. You found, like, the teenage thing. Sometimes you can find these little bits of the world where you're having mental, it's affecting you in a different mental way, and it is intimidating, or it is something like that. But low points, you know, I'm not saying it's got to be, what, Mike, anything in terms of low points where you found the humor at the lowest moment?
Yeah, there was that one time, and I touch on it in the book On Perks, but, like, right after I had back surgery, which started, you know, me getting addicted to perks, we went to Disney, and we didn't have trip insurance, so it was, like, 4 days after I had surgery, so we were going to go, and it was just, I was going to figure it out. But I had to take a shit before I got on the plane. And if you've been pounding painkillers, like, you get constipated pretty easily. So I'm trying to force the shit out. I hear them calling for people to board the plane. So I'm like, fuck, I really got to push. And I ended up re-herniating my discs. So it was just the worst fucking pain. I end up getting on the plane, screaming, getting off the plane. We get to the hotel, and I'm just bedridden for, like, the first 3 days of a five-day trip. And I couldn't even go to the bathroom. I couldn't go to the bathroom. So my wife had to bring the ice bucket that's in your hotel room. Don't put ice in that. So my wife had to bring it over, and I had to piss into it. And the first time she did it, I don't have a big dick. And especially, like, I have shriveled up sick dick. So, like, I don't have
that
enough.
That is a thing.
It is.
That is a thing.
No, it is. It is. It is.
If you're sick and you look at look at your husband's dick now if he's sick. If he lets you, obviously. But it is true. Your dick is also
gonna
sick.
He's too weak.
You have a sick dick.
Pulse mask.
It is true. Yeah.
But the lowest point was my wife putting the ice bucket up to my dick, and I didn't have enough dick to put in the ice bucket to piss. And I just looked at my wife and I said, I can't do anything. And I just started crying. But the gravity of not having enough dick to put in an ice bucket to go to the piss. Because the only other option was just to sit there and piss myself in this nice hotel bed.
Oh, dude, you had to pee like a lady. Yeah, sit down and pee. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
dude.
I probably would have been like, get out of here. And then I would have been like, his back's herniated, so it's got to be terrible. Yeah. You can't bend over.
No, like, I know, so dude. I remember my dad got his double hernia surgery, and he couldn't. I had to like almost like carry him to like the couch. That shit's brutal, dude. Yeah.
That's why when you get those in the hospital, I flirted with taking one of those home.
You don't.
Because you know what it is? I do have the thing of like, this is super useful and I definitely could use this, but you start having that thing just around and before you know it, you're
that guy.
You're Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
You know
you don't
want to
be that guy, dude.
Jars.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't
want to
be that guy.
Yeah,
you don't
want
to be the piss in a jar guy, dude.
I there are comics who we've heard said it on stage and off stage, like they've talked about it. It's like, yeah, I've had to piss in my room, like, a couple of, like, you know, whatever the situation is, like, I have peed, and like, I just didn't want to get up. It's like, God, dude.
You know what blows my mind, though? The stories of those where they're not drunk or high, when they're like, I just had to pee, and I'm like, you're the fucking animal. You're an actual animal. That disgusts me. You're peeing in your room? Not high? Fuck, dude. Get the fuck out of here. That's why I can't live with anybody.
Dude, I like to think that my, at that time, wife.
We've never actually gotten married.
You've never
been
married.
Together forever. Yeah,
been together forever. Yeah, long time partner. Like, you know, girlfriend. I like to think that she's like, babe, I got this. She's like this, and then just like tips the head in a way that like makes it grow a little bit. She's just like, bing, and it just like pops forward and goes in. You're like, you're the best goddamn woman I've ever met. She's like, babe, you know I got you. Bing, and then it just like does a little spot and grows a little bit.
Dude, just imagine having to suck a guy's dick enough to get to a point where he can piss into
a bucket.
What a fucking loser.
Not again. All right? Not again.
I've had one time already. Nay. Yeah, dude, that's fucking crazy, man.
I've grown from
this.
That's
really funny,
though. I'm different. Well, I want to say thank you.
Yeah,
dude. I had a blast, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you
so
much,
dude. Appreciate you both, man.
Yeah, everybody. Drop Tech. Go check out everything Mike has over there and get in the description there. We'll have all the links and details. Adam, it's always good to see you. This has been another day in the cult. I've been Neil Wood. We'll see you again.
Yeah. Peace out. Laters.
By the renewing of your mind.
The recycling. It's a flesh body world.
Do it.
Human.
Do it.
Sir Slimy Reptilian.
This has been a Drop Tent Media production.